Sweet 14 podcast presented by Sports Interaction, your homegrown sportsbook. Bet local today. And not really much to talk about here, Ave. Listen, I know it's two series into the season, but not hitting the panic button yet. But my God, this offense, these three games were literally impossible to watch. And that's not even me being mean. None of that. It was tough to watch. Like, borderline impossible. Zero runs in the last 29 innings. Nine hits in their last 29 innings. Just impossible to watch. I don't know how we did it.
Yeah, you get no hit, which we talked about. And then you get one hit.
In the same series.
That's not a good series. That's not very good. And there's a legacy clutch home run as you'll ever have away with two outs in the bottom of the ninth from being swept and it being no runs scored all series, right?
Yeah. The only time they scored runs was two outs in the top of the ninth with two strikes, I believe. Just that's not going to do it.
For a team where we thought the offense was coming back, Johnny, the offense has not come back.
And my mentions are pretty bad right now because obviously I spoke glowingly about potential bounce backs. And maybe we got fooled in the spring from guys like Varsho and stuff like that. But it's just, I think, and maybe it's because we watch this team so much, Avery, this is the only team on the planet that slumps together. Like, it's bananas.
Well, yeah, they talk about team chemistry. They're on the same cycle.
Yes.
They stink together all the time.
I can't even wrap my head around it.
Well, you can wrap your head around it. We saw it all last year. Let's go. Positive note. They're 3-4. They're not 1-1.
They're 3-4 with the worst offense I've ever seen. That's a positive.
Yes, that is a positive.
And it blows my mind, but they did that all of last year, Avery.
Yes. Well, let's look. Not that baseball's a tough sport to know how to win. It's you score more runs than the other team. Let's just go through the scores, how the season's gone. They score 8 runs. They win 8-2 game one. They lose and score 2 runs in game two. They score 1 run in game three, 9 in game four, and then they go 0-2-0. Johnny, that's not a great start.
It's not great.
When they score runs, they win the game. Yeah. And they have had a tough time scoring runs. We can talk about all this we want, like process stuff. I'm not a big process guy this early in the season.
Yeah.
But the thing that sucks, and I think the thing for all the fans, is it just feels like last year already. And that's opening day did not feel like last year. But every game after that pretty much has felt like last year. And I think the fans are going to be so disappointed in that. And you even saw the fans disappointed that Davis isn't in the lineup today because he's provided the only little bit of hope. I think that's where we were at. But then YJ's makes a good point. What are you going to do? Sit IKF, the free agent signing that you brought in.
But that's on Ross for bringing IKF in.
Yeah, that is true. But I guess you can think of it two ways. It's, hey, Ross told me I'm going to come in and play, and then you're sat within week one. It's going to be a bad look for some other people, but he's collecting $7.5 million this year, right?
Yeah.
It's 15-2. I'm disappointed in this week. But if we can get this out of the way and you don't have another stinker like this,
come on.
It's obviously going to happen. It's a long season.
Yes.
But that is like the worst series possible. They did this thing besides the run scoring against the Rangers 4 games at home last season. It felt kind of the same way. Just your teeth kicked in the whole time, but they couldn't win a game and they got swept in a 4 game set. What do you think about? You can't think anything good when you get.
This is my thing, and I know people are going to be coming quick to blaming. I know some people are blaming the pitchers, but I feel like it's a consensus. You can't blame the pitching staff. Like, being a pitcher on this team and knowing that you have to pretty much go 7 scoreless to give your team a chance to fucking win is bananas. Like yesterday, Jose Barrios shoved 6 innings or 7 innings, 1 run, and got the no decision, dude. Like,
he was in turn for the loss the whole time.
You could have Jesus Christ himself come down and pitch, and he would still lose because the offense doesn't score. And I know, like, we're just ranting here, but it's, man, it's like, what we had to go through last year watching this offense and what this pitching staff had to go through last year watching this offense, it's hard to just, like, see it on the writing on the wall of it being the exact same thing, dude, right? Like, it's hard. It's tough to watch. It really is, man. It really is.
Yeah, and then you see Yordan on the other side, Kyle Tucker on the other side, Jose Altuve swinging at balls over his helmet for home runs twice this series. Yiner Diaz, a guy just in the minors for the last couple of seasons. Dusty Baker refused to play him last season, yeah, and he's hitting 750 to start the season. It's tough because you have players that you think are as good as Kyle Tucker and Yordan.
As good as Yordan.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Bo and Vlad, you think are as good as those two guys, and then you see a series where Yordan finally figures it out. I did a video today at work. It's like, do not worry about these guys. And I said Yordan Alvarez was like the biggest guy I was not worried about at all. You shouldn't be worried about people after 1 week in general. Like, that's
– yes.
Mike Wilner, it's early. It can't – it is so fucking early. And the team is 3-4. Like, it's not a winless start, at least.
Yeah. So, no, that's a good point. That's a good part to look at it. I'm just saying – all the fans ask for is at some point consistency, right? Like, when you're losing games, lose 5-3, 6-4, 5-4. You can't, when you lose, you can't just be unserious when you lose. That's what this team is. Like, when they lose games, they are unserious. They get fucking no hit and one hit. So far, that is what we have seen. And that is what the 169 or 171 game sample size has been for the past year and a bit that we have been watching this team. That's the harsh reality of it.
Yeah, at this point, from what we've seen, it seems like a mail it in the sixth when you know they're cooked.
Yes.
The bats, yeah, don't tell. Tell a great story when they get down, and we haven't had a comeback win yet, besides last night.
Yeah.
It feels, yeah, it's like, hey, you get down more than one, it's going to be tough for this team to come back. And all of this can change, man. This is, it is incredibly early. I will be Mike Wilner, 3-4, 7 games into a 162 game season.
Yes.
It does suck. Like, people come into the comments yesterday and said, oh, the Tigers are better than us. The Tigers just, like, look at the teams they've played. The Rays are a good team. The Astros are obviously a good team as well. And then you get the Yankees next, and then you get the Mariners. There actually might not be a single run scored in that Mariners series.
well, Kirby kind of got lit up.
Yeah, what? I know. But they didn't score very much. It's a horrible start to them. The upcoming schedule: Yankees, Mariners, Rockies, Yankees, Padres, Royals, Dodgers.
But we've said this, though, Avery. Like, again, I know you're bringing out the positives here. If this team finishes this road trip 500, we have a different tune. It's unfortunate now that the 500 is going to have to result in a 2-1 series win in New York, who looks like the greatest team on the fucking planet right now. But it's a different tune we're singing here if this team finishes 2-1. But it's hard to not at least have negative thoughts after what you just watched. As a fan, you have a right to feel that.
The Jays hit 106 this series, scored 2 runs, slugged 183, and had 0 hits with runners in scoring position.
Zero.
Not a single one. Is that good?
No. And I get it. I know our comment section is going to be full of frustration. I know the TikTok comments, my mentions, all of that. And they have every right to be.
You should very well be frustrated.
Yeah. And you have every right to be frustrated with a team that is in a quote-unquote championship contender window that is lackadaisical like this at the plate. But tons of teams last year looked good at the start of the year and then looked bad at the end, right? It's like it's ball. There is so many fucking games, and I get that. I get that. But we judge things based off of how they're going right now, and right now this has been tough to watch. And you have every right to feel that. And this offense is like, what really pissed me off today was the Vladdy at-bat. I'll be honest with you, not to nag on a guy like this, but he four-pitch walk the hitter before him, right? Four-pitch walk. He gets a ball at his shoestring, swings through it, battled the rest of the at-bat, runner in scoring position, and strikes out. It's like, at some point, man, you got to fucking turn it on there. Like you got to be the guy that you're supposed to be at a certain point. That was frustrating. It was like, let's look at Vladdy. Yeah,
it was a two out at bat as well. He missed what was a slider, middle of the plate as well. And then the Astros are cheating with the amount they're throwing changeups. All of their pitchers have changeup rate has spiked a drastic amount, which is crazy. Yeah. How the Astros go about their pitching, and it's kind of different for the Rays. The Rays seem to go cutter heavy. It's like all their guys are throwing cutters now, and the Astros, everyone's throwing changeups, and they've had no chance with it.
It's just, man, these at bats were tough to watch this series, bro. Like, they were bad. There's just no discrediting that. There was just, and I guarantee you, those guys in the locker room would say the exact same thing. It's tough, man. I do want to have a discussion about a player, Kevin Kiermaier. Where are you at with him? Pretty bad start to the season for Kevin Kiermaier. He brings it with the glove. We've known that. Last year, he was great with the bat this point of the season. He was really good early on. A lot of double play balls, a lot of strikeouts, kind of unserious approach, unserious at bats. I love KK. But, man, this has been a very, very tough start to the season for Kevin Kiermaier. There's no denying that.
No, you can't deny that. So I want to tie in Kevin Kiermaier talk with why Davis was sat today. Can we do that?
Yeah.
So if you want to preface the Davis Schneider being sat, from a surface level, let's not look into any numbers, how you feel about Davis not.
Well, I'll just bring up a stat. So Kevin Kiermaier is 2 for his last 20. 2 for his last 20 with 2, 4, 6 with 7 strikeouts or 6 strikeouts. Not great. But so anyways, Jays, obviously we know Schneider game 2 hits that not walk off, but game winning home run against the Houston Astros. And today John Schneider sits him and Twitter is set aflame. It is set aflame. Obviously, they wanted the guy that has provided the only offense the entire series to play, and I get that. Again, I get that. Maybe there's a different perspective to it about wanting to play IKF, who you paid $7.5 million. Kind of doesn't make sense to sit him a week into him being a Toronto Blue Jay, but it's the fans were mad about it, and they wanted Schneider in the lineup. Maybe you can kind of talk him off of it, Avery. I don't know. Maybe. Or give the logic standpoint behind Josh Schneider.
The logic standpoint from an analytics thing is there's a thing called induced vertical break in baseball. And it is the theory. It is the movement of the thought of when you throw a fastball, if it looks like the ball's rising or the ball is dipping when you get there. So induced vertical break is without gravity. If it looks, the more induced vertical break you have, the more it looks like the ball is rising, say like a rise ball in softball when the ball goes up. So that's how it looks. Davis Schneider's thing, we even talked about it with him on here, is the whole, it's not a lazy take, but everyone just said, okay, it's up. You pitch him up. And Christian Javier has one of the best induced vertical break numbers on his fastball in all of baseball. So he is really good at making the ball look like it's rising, throwing his fastball at the top of the zone. And David Schneider is not good at hitting
it. He said it in his post game yesterday. Schneider did say that in his post game yesterday.
He's not good at hitting it at the top of the zone. But there's another player on the team who's also bad at that, who has way less power potential, and that's Kevin Kiermaier, who hasn't been hitting well as well. So my thought was, it makes sense, the Davis thing, just based on what Javier has. He's really good And the IVB numbers are really great. So I think if you get up to 19 inches of induced vertical break, it's a good fastball. He has 21 inches of induced vertical break on his fastball. So it's good.
Yeah.
So it made sense to me that they don't want him. They don't think that's a favorable matchup to him. But then you have Kevin Kiermaier in there as well. Chris Bassett's going to give up some balls in play. So you want to have a good defense out there. It's a better defense when Davis isn't in left field. Like when you put Varsho out there, there's a play Varsho made, slide and grab, coming into left on a blooper that I don't think Davis makes, but I think the power potential is just way better with Davis there. So I talked myself into thinking it was probably a better idea to keep him back in there.
Okay, but playing devil's advocate, the at-bats can't get possibly worse with Davis in the lineup.
No, Davis,
right?
Yeah, the Davis at-bats weren't great yesterday before the home run.
But what I'm saying is, though, is like you had one hit anyways. Like that's what's going to enrage the fans even more is like Davis at least has that pop potential where Kevin Kiermaier doesn't in the bottom part of that lineup, right? Like that's the devil's advocate side of it. Right?
I'm starting to think Daniel Vogelbach should be getting a couple more at-bats against it.
He got a nice walk in the ninth there. It's hard for a guy to get hot like that, though, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't take much into account for a ninth inning at-bat in a game you're down 100 runs, right?
Yes.
The level of your locked-in-ness is different at that point for most of those guys playing that game. But I think you got to try and get him in there. And it doesn't make sense, really, position-wise, based on how Justin Turner has been at third base. It is just the Davis thing. I'm happy that people can get mad about that. Davis wasn't scoring 9 runs today by himself.
Yeah. That's a good point. It's just looking at it, it's tough. And another guy that I didn't want to talk about, Avery, that week is the Alejandro Kirk stuff. I mean, Alejandro Kirk is hitting this year 0.095, 130 on base, 0.095 slugging with a 225 OPS. And this is a guy who looked good in the spring. His average exit velo right now, 84 miles an hour, which is in the blue. He's expected batting average 162, expected slugging 180, WOBA 125, ex-WOBA 177, with a 20% strikeout rate and a 13% hard hit rate. This is a guy who is... I saw Sportsnet tweets do this. He has a lower OPS since 2022 All-Star break than Luke Maley. Where are you at here with Kirk? Because the sample size now is big enough, because you're including last year, to where it's like, this guy is really, really struggling at the plate. Really struggling.
Yeah, let's see the things that he's good at, if he's still doing that as well. The at-bats from everyone have been horrible, man.
All lumped in one at the end of the day.
It is.
I love Thick Jesus. When he is good, this team goes. When he goes, this team goes. That's not a hot take. He fucking rocks. But my God, the ground balls and hitting him and Varsho back-to-back, man.
Yeah. I mean, the aura of the team is down. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look. So what he's good at is making contact in the zone. And 2022, he had a zone contact percentage of 90.9%. Last season, got even better, 93.8%. Like, elite numbers there. And then this season, he's at 80%. So he's making soft contact. He is making less contact. So that is a tough start for Alejandro Kirk as well. No one's playing well at this point.
No one. Like we said, they all slump together. They do. They all slump together, Ave.
Can you make sense of it?
No, I can't. But I know this is an old saying, and it's like I'm going to get chirped and called an old head for this, but hitting truly is contagious. It really is. And I know this is stupid, and I'm old Johnny, whatever, but we see it with this team. We see it on Sunday. They started hitting. They put up a 9 spot, right? Like, if they're slumping, no one picks each other up this series. There's no, like, spark. Maybe Schneid would be that spark. Maybe Erndahl. I don't know. But when this team is struggling, there has yet to be like, all right, let's snap out of this shit. And you made a good point. you can kind of tell when the game is over and if this team can hit or not by the second or third inning. That's when you could tell. It sucks. It sucks as a fan when you're in the third inning and they're 9 up, 9 down, or 11 guys came up to the plate, 9 outs, and you're just like, they're not hitting today. That's it. You could tell in the fucking third inning or second inning, man.
Yeah, and you think it'll change at some point, but another zero at this point. It sucks that we watched all of those games. Like, there's no other way to think about how shitty it was to watch all of that. And you were going to run into a buzzsaw. You were going to deal with the Astros finding their footing after getting swept. We knew it. We didn't think it would take a no-hitter to get them back on their feet, but it took just a shit-kicking of the Blue Jays to do that. And, yeah, pulled fly ball home runs. And so many, Kyle Tucker, bloop hit, Yordan, broken bat yesterday as well. Just finding ways to do it. And when you watch one team the whole season, you can tell approach every time, right? Like, you see a guy come up, oh, his approach sucks. And that's the problem. You don't watch another team, you have no idea if it's an approach thing or they're just hitting shitty that time. Because I couldn't tell you the approach from the Astros from watching them over three games.
So yeah.
They just ambush guys as well.
Right, they ambush fastballs, though. That's what they do well. Elevated fastballs, albeit, as well.
Well, but then fuck. Like, do you throw them less fastballs? The Boston Red Sox are throwing a historically low amount of fastballs to start the season, and their pitching staff's been great.
Yeah.
Pitching is such an intricate thing. It is so fluid as teams want to deal with and game plan for hitters. I'll always love pitching because it's so different, and teams can do it well in so many different ways and be successful. And you see that with the Red Sox right now. You see cutters, changeups coming back. I don't know. The Bowden start, they just ambush him on everything up.
Attacked.
Yeah.
Attacked.
I don't think at one point I was like, okay, I don't think this is game plan anymore. All the fastballs up. I think he was just missing spots, a little adrenaline. Yeah. He got
but
back.
I will say that's what makes a great hitting ball team. They attack a young guy like that. They ambush when he's throwing pitches in the zone. And that, did we see last year this team get carved up by young guns that have them not really a scouting report for? But that scouting report on Bowden was small. They just saw him last year out of the pen. They don't know what he's doing as a starter. I mean, maybe the couple spring training appearances. But at the end of the day, dude, if you are blaming this pitching staff for anything, you are a delusional, brain-dead fan. It's like the pitching is the bottom-tier problem for this team right now. It is the approaches at the plate. It is the ability to string hits together. And it's the ability to hit with runners in scoring position. Those three things are what they haven't been able to do. And once they show that they're able to do this, not one fucking game like Sunday, an entire week, three-game stretch, four-game stretch, you just kind of keep hitting. They have not shown that. They have shown on and off days. And I don't think really good teams have that. Really good teams do not have such consistent off days at the plate.
Yeah.
Look at the Dodgers. And I know it's a crazy comparison, fine. Yeah. Look at the fucking Yankees. Like, these teams that are supposed to be good, that have decently constructed lineups, they pick each other up and they hit in timely situations. The Yankees today in extra innings. Aaron Judge hits a double to take the lead in extra innings. Juan Soto gets on. Verdugo, for Christ's sakes, hits a two-run home run in extra innings. The guys that you pick up in the offseason that are supposed to be dogs are supposed to be dogs. And I know it's still only two series in, but that's my thought process on the hitting of this team from what I have seen two series into the season.
Yeah. The other part I wanted to chat about was manufacturing runs, because they haven't been able to do that at all. They can't get anyone on base. It was the Blue Jays and the Mets, I believe, were the only two teams not to attempt a stolen base as of today. Kevin Kiermaier attempted two of them, back-to-back pitches, when he got on in what I thought was the sixth or seventh inning, and he stole a bag. But how can you manufacture runs, use your speed guys, if they're not on base either? They're giving them no chances to create offense when you pop out every single at-bat, it feels like.
It feels like yesterday they didn't hit a ball out of the infield until like the ninth. I mean, I think Ernie had a single.
But that makes sense. Like Framber's, the pitchers attack them how. This is a weird way to put this because it's obvious. But the Jays seemed like they gave in to what the pitchers wanted them to do. Framber Valdez, an elite ground ball pitcher, has been all his time as a starter. And the Blue Jays continued to just pound balls into the dirt. And they would pick up the ball at second base, fucking underhand it to first base. Let's get the fuck off the field and let's go hit again.
Yeah.
So
that's it. I mean, that's the best recap we can do of the series. It's not to be doom and gloom. At the end of the day, man, we have fucking baseball on the TV. We'd kill for this in November.
Watching the no-hitter, it was like, I would rather.
That was bad. That was bad.
Yeah, I'll take an off day in November instead of watching shit.
Yeah. So let's go to the next series here. Running into the buzzsaw. New York Yankees, 6-1 fucking start. We got Kikuchi versus Stroman, which is going to be an electric matchup. Stroman opening day at Yankee Stadium. Gausman, Schmidt. And I don't know who's going Sunday.
It's Gil and whoever we have, Bowden, right?
Gil and Bowden. Where are you at here with this?
I'm back in if they beat Stroman on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, let's look at some of the Yankees' average. Soto, 345. Volpe, 409. Oswaldo Cabrera, 346. Torres, 214. Kind of decent. But Judge is really struggling. Other than that, though, man, it's like this Yankees bullpen's good. You go to this bullpen, you're going to be in for a tough one. Their starting pitcher is decent. Clark Schmidt, I'm not 100% sold on. Gil, I'm not 100% sold on. Stroman, he can be a dog when he has to be a dog. They got to win game one. Like, you got to beat Stroman at Yankee Stadium. Please, please beat this fucking guy.
Yeah, it would be awesome if he just kind of ruins their opening day. I want to talk about game times. The worst set of game times for a three-game weekend set. 1 o'clock Friday, 7 p.m. Saturday, and what is it, 1 o'clock again Sunday?
1:35 Sunday.
What the fuck are we doing here?
Is like the Saturday game an ESPN game? Is that why?
I don't think
it has to be.
I don't think they'd play ESPN games, right?
Well, they do at Yankee Stadium.
Okay. Interesting. I don't think so.
Not sure.
But it makes sense. If you're going to play a night game on Saturday, it's the same time of year. Why don't you just play the night game on Friday as well? I think it's a tough Kikuchi matchup again. We need a little bit better outing from him, a little better command for Kikuchi. And it starts.
This is
early.
Where he turned it around last year, remember? That started at Yankee Stadium. I think he went 6 scoreless or 6-1 run. I'm going into this series positive, man. Because if I know this team, if I know baseball, they will somehow pull us back in by beating the fucking brakes out of the New York Yankees on Friday and just pull us all the way back in.
I feel like it's just missing Jano a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I feel Jano would be the one to just shit all over the Yankees like he did. Was that last year, too?
Yes.
With the home run at Yankee Stadium?
Walk off.
It's Vlad to hit a home run off Marcus Stroman.
Oh, fucking chills. How annoying do you think Marcus Stroman's going to be on that game? Insufferable?
Probably. If I had to guess.
Yeah,
if I had to take my guesses on how Marcus Stroman's going to be to watch against, I think insufferable's a pretty good for that one.
Yeah, he's an insufferable human being. I'm going to say Jays won the series 2-1.
Okay.
Fuck it. Give me hope. Let's get back to the Rogers Center 500, man.
I think they lose to Stroman, win the next two. We get a bounce back game.
Okay. I wasn't mad with that bounce start. I really wasn't. A lot of punch outs. Holy shit.
Yeah, he did get punch outs. I forgot that he was just a 3-pitch guy.
Yeah.
And the two off-speed pitches go the same way. Feels like we could work on something that goes the other way for.
By the way, let's talk about this. Yariel Rodriguez's first start in Buffalo.
Hell yeah.
My God.
It was very well timed after the game the Jays had the night before. And
but again, he can't hit. So it's like, you know. It's
yeah,
like
I know. But people were like, oh, Bowden's done right away. You can't do that after one start. Like
it's just such a stupid fucking mindset. If you think Bowden Francis is done, you're such a dumb idiot. But whatever, man. All right. We will be streaming on Sunday on the Gate 14 podcast, YouTube, grinding away, chipping away. And
we'll have, if you guys are new to it, the Thursday episodes are usually shorter. They don't get listened to as much. Sunday, when we go into the Monday, is the long
is always the banger. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, love you guys, man. Please download Sports Interaction. Support the boys, man. The more interactions they get there, the better it looks for us. So if you guys are riders, that's what you will do.
If you are gambling on stuff, Sports Interaction is a good place to be because I like the hits
stuff.
The hits runs RBI market. The live stuff is good as well. It has some of the best baseball stuff you could bet on.
It's unreal. You could bet Ernie under strikeouts. I've never seen that.
Yeah. We've gambled everywhere, like quite literally everywhere in Ontario. You and I have. And I love the hits, runs, RBIs. They have all the markets that you want to gamble on.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, anyways, guys, we have an announcement on Sunday about what we're going to be doing opening day, which is going to rock. Right?
Yeah, I think we can.
Yeah.
We can do that.
So we will chat Sunday night. Enjoy your weekend, man. Let's beat the fucking brakes off of Marcus Stroman. Please.
We deserve this off day tomorrow, everyone.
Yeah, let's win the off day. Let's win the off day tomorrow. Love you guys, man. Heat 14 forever. Let's have ourselves a week.